This shows up on our website live too, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So we're ready to go. We've got our five streams going, and we have crossed the streams as the Ghostbusters.
Okay, well, we're still here, at least in this alternative universe.
Yes, true.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. Thanks for being with us, and congratulations on finding this little show in a corner of the internet. Let me make sure that I'm close enough to the mic here. Can you hear me okay, Doug? Okay, all right. Okay, so this is review of a few things happening during the week. Most of our broadcasts, we're looking at health issues and health and consciousness, working on the inside, lifestyle upgrades and things like that. But this little additional fairly new show is about looking at some things happening in the world, not trying to be comprehensive, because that's already done by other people much better than we could possibly have time to do that. And always recommend that people look at who's the most hated, you know, by the mainstream media. Well, that's Alex Jones, second to Donald Trump right now, but ahead of everybody else, I think. And it's because he's doing a fantastic job with a comprehensive news show. So we're not trying to mimic that at all. What I'm doing is more taking a couple of things that were happening during the week and trying to look at what they mean. Kind of give you an idea of how you could look at whatever's happening in the outside world, so that there's not this big difference between understanding, you know, the mostly horrible but some good things that are going on in the outside world and the things that you're working on inside yourself, and trying to mesh those somehow. They're not really that much in conflict in a way. And so we're going to use a couple of examples to illustrate that. And if I look down, I'm sorry, I don't mean to look away from you. It's just that for the week preceding this show, and especially the couple of days right before it, I'm thinking about what I want to share with you and what would convey what I'm trying to convey the best. And I write down little bullet points of stuff. Oh, remember to talk about this and this and this. So I've got 16 pages of notes, and I'm not going to go verbatim because that makes it too difficult to go back and forth between being connected with you and looking through trying to figure out all my notes. But I do want to glance down to make sure that I don't forget anything critical. And this week, what I wanted to look at primarily was, since I'm located in the U.S. right now, and I know you guys are in different parts of the world, but this all applies to all countries. It's a general attitude that we're looking with. And so I want to look at U.S. relations with Iran and North Korea and Russia, because I think they signify quite a bit, and they have a lot of meaning to them in the bigger picture. So you know, many people in the U.S. and probably other places don't know much about what Iran is actually. It's a big country in the Middle East that has about 80 million people in it, and it's predicted to be at about 100 million by 2050 if you know, nobody succeeds in blowing up the world before then. And those are people just like everybody in America and Australia and Nigeria and everywhere else. They don't need to have horrible things going on between the countries. And I wanted to clarify what I mean by the countries, because words are used to really mislead and program us in various ways constantly. And we need to be aware of that more and more. So when they talk about this country is fighting with that country, question everything. That's the basis of real science. It's the basis of real spiritual investigation. It's the basis of honesty. So when they say one country is at war with another, it's not, it probably didn't come in modern times anyway, it didn't come from all the people fighting all the people in the other country. It's a small, relatively small group and cartel that's in charge, and they've decided to use the citizens to fight each other for their own agendas. And usually they're not very good. So defensive wars are rare. They do happen. But usually wars are started out of aggression and out of desire for financial gain or some other power enhancement. And it's good to be aware of that. So, for example, with Iran, I've never been there, but I've met a lot of legal immigrants from Iran, and they're great people. Really intelligent, the ones that I know, and creative and compassionate and, you know, no more perfect than anybody else, but they have all these same really great qualities that everybody does. And their families in America, the ones I know, are westernized. They're not, there's no abuse or suppression of women, no violence toward other religions. And as we've said before, there's a difference between a country and the people in it and the government that's called the country. It's the same thing in a city. The city is the land, the natural resources that it's all sitting on, and the people who live there. But they've made a little corporation of the people who control it called the city. If they were really doing that just in service like they're supposed to, it probably would be pretty good. But that's rare. And it's the same with states. The state is the whole area of land and the resources and the people who are on it. It's not the government. The government's supposed to be the servant. And one of the good things about the way the U.S. was founded, at least in theory, is that that servant, the government, is supposed to be lower than the people. So at the top, you have the individuals whose rights are sacred and can't be violated and do not come from a government concession. They come from God, and you're born with them. So the government can't even pass a law to take them away. If it does, it's a void law. It's not real. And then below the people are the local governments, and then below them are the states, and below them are the federal government. And there's only a few areas in the U.S., and this is kind of a model that could be followed in other places. There's only a few areas of jurisdiction that the federal government has any power to do anything. And they're listed in the U.S. Constitution. They're called the enumerated powers. You might like to look at them sometime. They're not taught in school anymore. They've stopped teaching real history and real government and what they used to call civics. But that's still important stuff to understand, to know that, you know, government is a basic idea. It's supposed to be subservient to the people. And the people everywhere in all the countries, they're in different cultures. They're programmed in different ways by mind. But underneath all that, they're all the same. They're conscious beings, their spirit, temporarily living in a physical body, wrapped up with programs of the mind for the moment that we tend to start thinking that's who we are, but it's not true. We're permanent beings, pure spirit, whether we live in Iran or Mexico or Canada or, you know, Argentina or Russia or anywhere else. Pure spirit, all beauty, love. That's the reality. And we're programmed that that's cliche and that's silly and that's the romantics that are naive and don't know what's going on. It's just the opposite. That is what's really going on. And all this nasty stuff is some self-deception that just magnifies and plays off itself. And then people get belief systems because they're out of touch with what they really perceive directly. There's a difference between belief and knowing. And so they get these belief systems and they fight over them. They're willing to kill over them, even beliefs about spirit and God and where they came from and who they are. And that even if they think it's all love and truth, they'll kill everybody else to prove it. They're a little off track. So that's why seeking the truth on a spiritual level works, is because it's who you are. All this stuff that we fight over is not real. It doesn't mean you don't have to defend yourself and defend others and defend things that shouldn't be attacked. That may be necessary on this level of existence, and shouldn't run away from that. But hating others and this feeling of false division and everything that governments and now the media, especially in America and Europe, really try to push, none of it's true. So it's just the outer shell that's misleading. If you get these belief systems telling you that you're worthless, and you know, popular ones tell you that you're just a worthless sinner or a piece of dust, or you know, something that's going to be gone and not exist at the end of this lifetime. That's just the outer shell. And that teaching is to keep you away from what's inside. And what's underneath is formless and timeless and, like we said, just pure beauty. And finding that in yourself is the way toward where you came from. And then you find out that that's actually what you're made out of. And I'm not trying to be diverted from talking about what's going on in the world. The point is that what's going on in the world is directly related to what I'm talking about here. This is going to be a really unusual program. I apologize. You can always listen to CNN, or for accurate, you know, honest news, you can listen to Alex Jones. I'm not trying to mimic anything in that spectrum. This is something different. I'm going to go way outside the box. And it's not from theory. It's not from stuff that I've read. I have to share with you, you know, some experience, and then you can either reject it or use it or do whatever you want with it. And it's just, you know, I'm working for you, just trying to give you a little bit of what I found in the research that I've done. All the evil is complete deception of ourselves and other people. So if we know that, then the question is, how do we apply it to these things going on in the world? Iran, you know, according to the U.S. government, is called this evil terrorist country. But what is the country of Iran? Like we're saying, physically it's beautiful. Nature is beautiful everywhere. And the people living in Iran, the 80 million growing fast, they're like anybody else. They're not evil. We're not evil. What about the government there? Well, two forces historically have each been busy enslaving and killing their own people. One is religion and the other is government, by controlling the mind and the emotions and then using those against the people for their slaves and their victims and getting rid of dissent, anybody who disagrees, and they rev them up to fight each other and they use them to fight other people in other countries. We don't have to do that. If we're awake, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't fall for it. And before you start thinking, well, those stupid people, they're falling for it. We're all falling for it to some degree. And the useful part is to see where you're falling for it, not somebody else. It's us. So in Iran, as an example, the two forces that have been enslaving and killing people for at least 10 or 15,000 years that I know of, and probably a lot more, religion and government, they've merged into a theocracy. And that means the belief system that makes the religion, with all of its penalties of death for not believing it, that becomes the government. And religions have acted as governments on their own before, and actually overridden governments. But in this case, they're both one. And I'm going to talk generically here. We've got a really short time to talk on the show. It's over, and we're a quarter finished right now. And I just want to leave you with a few things to just become aware of. So in Iran, those two forces are merged, and they are ruled by a religion that I'm not going to mention because I want to stay on this platform for a while. But you know what it is. And I've read all three of the scriptures of the religion that is the government in Iran. And the message is for the religion, you want to get to paradise because it's incredibly nice there. You get to do everything that you didn't get to do enough of in the world is really fantastic over there. You know, sex and alcohol and all kinds of stuff is there in abundance, and it has no bad effects. You're going to really like it a lot. And you don't want to go to hell because hell's really uncomfortable, and the three scriptures describe it in incredible detail. And if you're not sure if you want to go there or not, they make it clearer for you. You know, imagine having your skin burned off and regrowing, burned off and regrowing. You get to do that over and over again forever. You probably don't want to go there. Even if you think you're pretty bad, you really don't want to go there. So the message of the religion, that is the government in Iran, and some other places too, by the way, some of which are U.S. allies, says, okay, no problem. You want to go to paradise, enslave, convert. If you can convert people to your religion, then they're okay. They become your friends, brothers, allies. If you can't do that, at least make them into slaves. And we're talking about present-day slavery right now. And that is going on in several countries. Or if that doesn't work, you just have to kill them. Because having other beliefs really makes God very upset. And God is so upset that he hates anybody who doesn't have the right religion. Now, that is not just the teaching of what's going on with that religion. It's had many others in the past. You pick up the Bible, and in the Old Testament, God, who's the ultimate God forever, hates everybody who worships false gods, and in some cases wants them assassinated and murdered. Okay, so it's not just Iran. It's this whole idea of religion versus direct perception spiritually, connection to spirit or God, versus having a belief that you'll kill people for, and that says people should be killed, and that God's really unstable and hates these people who have the wrong beliefs. So that, unfortunately, is what is the nature of the government in Iran right now. So that's not very good for humanity, because if that religion succeeds, excuse me, then you're either going to join them or you're going to be dead or you're going to be a slave. And sometimes if you're lucky, you get to keep your belief but pay them half of your income and do other things that are supposed to humiliate you. It's not a really good situation. And the religion has 1.8 billion people in it. It's not a small cult. And yet a lot of the people who were born into it don't even understand what it's really saying they have to do. And they're really good people. And not just in America, but in Iran, a lot of the people there are wonderful people, and they don't deserve to be attacked or bombed. They have the right to run their own country however they want. It's not up to the U.S., it's not up to the U.K., it's not up to any other country how Iran or anybody else runs their own country. This idea of, you know, multinational systems of control that override the constitutions or the laws of any given country is not a good idea. And there are strong forces trying to push us toward it. But it's against the idea of individual freedom, not just for people, but for countries. So every country is sovereign, and that should be respected. And the U.S. government has a presence in more than 100 countries. No country, including the U.S., is supposed to be, as Ron Paul put it, the world policeman. There's no moral basis for that at all. It's like you as an individual don't have the right, if you understand on a deeper level, you don't have the right to go figure that your neighbor has the wrong religion and then try to force them to change because yours is right and theirs is wrong and you're saving them from hell and all this stuff. That's not in keeping with the principles of freedom that America was founded on. And America decided, the founders decided not to make America a theocracy. And yeah, they had a lot of Christian values that were really good that they based things on, but they were wise enough to know making Christianity or any other religion the official religion that everybody has to follow is a really bad idea. And people have been killed in the name of Christ and God and every other religion that I've been able to find so far, even in some cases Buddhism. So freedom is really impossible. And impossible. That was an interesting slip. Freedom is really important and critically important. And if you don't allow freedom, then your religion is missing something. So the idea is live however you want, but don't intentionally hurt anybody else. And every country deserves that as long as they're not aggressive. Remember, the caveat was don't intentionally hurt anybody else. So since America was founded on that principle, America should live up to it now. Defense is great, and I think strong defense for every country is really important. But not aggressive violence, individually or nationally. And interestingly enough, the current precedent of the U.S. right now that is so hated by all the media, the opposing political party, the Democratic Party it's called, and most of the corrupt Republican Party hates him too, only goes along with it when it looks like it's going to be helpful for their campaign. The current president was the only major party peace candidate in both parties. All the other Republicans were in favor of war with Russia. It was really amazing, their lack of consciousness and the fact that they sold out to what is now known as the deep state was really amazing. The Democratic candidates, both of the last ones remaining, were taking really warlike stances toward Russia. And if you remember, at that time, the theater of war was primarily in Syria that was being looked at. And what happened in Syria is you had this guy, Assad, who's always being demonized by the media. That probably means he's got a lot of good qualities. Trust the media, okay? Because they're not, it's like the government. They're not going to tell you that something is great for you unless it's probably deadly. And they're not going to tell you that something is really dangerous unless it's probably really good for you. And like we say before, check it out first. Don't assume that's always the case, because they can make a mistake and tell the truth occasionally. But in the situation in Syria that was going on when the 2016 election was being held, Donald Trump, who's the one hated by all the media, all the major media, and all the corrupt government heads everywhere, and all the Democratic Party people who don't even know why, the leaders know why he's dangerous to them. He was the only one saying he didn't want war, and he wanted to pull out the military from every possible country that the U.S. was in. He wanted to get along with Russia, that they could be a good ally. He didn't want to, he just said it wasn't our place to fight with Assad, who wasn't attacking us in any way. And, you know, yeah, maybe he had faults, but that's their country. That's not our country. Russian military was there by invitation. The U.S. and Israel and all these other people were not. That was really important. And so the Democratic candidates and most of the Republican, all the Republican candidates other than the one that got elected, they were all saying, yeah, we got to be harder on Assad and overthrow him. What? That's not legal. That's not ethical. That's not moral. It should have been immediately seen through as criminal nonsense by the American people. Russia was there destroying what was called ISIS at the invitation of Assad, who was trying to save his own people from annihilation by a group that was following that little religion we talked about. And they were not radicals, extremists. That is nonsense. They were following the religion to the letter. You know, beheading people, throwing homosexual people off buildings. That's not radical. That's what the religion says to do to get to paradise, okay? So they were doing that. And Assad, trying to save his people, not attack them in some stupid way, was saying, we need help. These ISIS people who are funded from many countries are going to overwhelm and kill our people and destroy our country. And the only ones the main ones that they asked for help was Russia. Somewhat Iran too, but mostly Russia. And Russia said, okay, we'll just do it for you. And Putin sent his forces in to kill the religious fighters who wanted to destroy the whole country. And they were succeeding. The U.S. was not supposed to be there. And several times the U.S. or allied forces, like from Turkey, would actually shoot down Russian aircraft. The Russians could have gone in and bombed Turkey for that, and they did not do it because of maturity and restraint, which the global rulers can't stand. That's a really bad example for the people. So all they did was try to rescue their pilots from the shot down helicopter, I think it was. And the forces from Turkey murdered the rescuers who were trying to save the helicopter survivors. And still Russia did nothing. Ignored it. Said, nope, we don't want world war. We'll take a few murdered Russians and save the world from an exchange of thermonuclear weapons. That should have gotten Putin a peace prize right there, if the peace prize hadn't been degraded by being given away politically. A real peace prize should have gone to Putin by not annihilating Turkey and thus the rest of the world at that time. But I guess the media forgot to mention that, right? So Trump was the only one wise enough to say, we don't want war. We don't want our military everywhere. We want really strong defensive forces, but strictly defensive. That's beautiful. He deserved a prize for that. But he got jumped on by the media even then. They've been trying to slander and take him down since he first sent a Christmas card during the December 2016. And before he was stepping in as president, and he was waving in front of a Christmas tree, and the media said, what kind of a terrible person would put themselves on a Christmas card and actually stand in front of a Christmas tree and wave to you? What an egomaniac. And a lot of people fell for it and said, yeah, you must be a really, you know, terrible person to do that. And they're still doing it every day, all day, every hour. There's a reason. Because he threatens peace and nobody can stand it in the power structure. Not because they just make money on war, but because their agenda is eventual extermination. That's another topic that would probably take a few shows to really go into in detail, but it's not just population reduction thereafter, it's extermination of life. And I'm pretty clear about that at this point. That is not to be negative, disheartened, or anything like that. Nothing of the sort. It's to just see accurately what is controlling things in the world right now. So that single peace candidate got into office, and he got himself, he's got big areas of ignorance, in my opinion, where he doesn't realize things, and he has great respect for successful military and business leaders. He doesn't realize the extent of the corruption that's gotten into global corporations and governments. But he's starting to, finally. He's really starting to now, which could be part of the reason that the power structure is really intent on having him killed at this point. And we need to watch that. I said I was going to be generic. I'm probably going to get us thrown off some of these platforms. So if we do disappear, go to lostartsradio.com, see where we are. Go to csonreal.video because we just got invited and put up on that channel. It's just starting. Mike Adams started it. Any of you guys that need a channel that is not going to get censored and is trying to tell the truth, go to real.video and see if you can get invited to have an account there. So because of this one area of many of Trump's areas of ignorance, he's brought in advisors and cabinet members and people that are sworn to be his enemies. And they're pushing him toward war and they're trying to keep real information away from him. But that circle of protection that keeps information away has now been breached. And real information is reaching him. And he's absorbing it. He's reading it. And he's taking it in as fast as he can. It's kind of exciting, but it's at the last minute. So the question is, will it be fast enough? And there was a poll with this idea of the conflict with Iran that most Americans don't support it. There was a poll just done. It was on Zero Hedge and Huffington Post, which I totally don't trust. But in this case, even they admitted that the majority of Americans do not want war with Iran. And Trump is being pushed toward more and more hostility with Iran and also with Russia. But with Russia, there's a chance it'll break down now because he finally met with Putin, which he should have done right after the election. Meeting with people doesn't mean that you're in some nefarious conspiracy with them. It's what you're supposed to do. So remember, if you become president, don't be bullied out of meeting with important heads of other countries. And Trump let himself. That was a big failing on Trump's part. Not because of evil intent. You know, Trump's greatness is not because he does everything right. And it's not because he knows everything, because he really doesn't. Trump's greatness, that might make him the greatest president we've ever had, is his intent. It's the same thing that made John Kennedy a great president. He had all kinds of personal flaws. He cheated on his wife. He was a chain smoker. He wasn't, you know, doing a lot of things correctly. He had some socialist ideas that were crazy. But he was a really great president because his intent was really to help the country. And if you start learning about the different presidents, that's super rare. Trump has that, combined with more courage and more strength. And that's why I'm calling him what I am. But he has big areas of ignorance that are enough to potentially get the world destroyed. And those have to be built up and filled with real information. And the reason that they're trying to have Trump killed right now, if he was as bad as the Democrats and the media say he was, they would love him. If you understand that one statement, it clears up a lot. They absolutely hate him. And they want him dead, and they've been wanting him dead since he got in. And the reason is not because he's doing everything right. He's bringing in these toxic industries. So he, I guess, signed off on the merger between Bayer and Monsanto, or Bayer buying Monsanto, sorry. A lot of, you know, supporting other toxic industries. He doesn't know that the 5G rollout is death to America and the rest of the world. But the problem is to the global power structure. Trump's character is such that if he finds that out, which I hope he does really soon, and now there's a chance, he would turn around and act on it overnight. And this terrifies the global rulers because they thought they were almost there with destroying America and the rest of the world. America being key, not because the people are any better than anywhere else, because we're all equal underneath, but because America has a memory of freedom, and not many places do, although Russia's getting better. That's why they're hated too. And in some way, Russia's getting more free than America. So Trump's belligerence toward Russia and toward Iran are, in my opinion, at the advice of really bad advisors and lawyers and people around him who don't have the consciousness that's needed for the world peace that he got in to bring. Prosperity in America doesn't work in a world at war, you know, where everything is terrible. The world is really connected. That doesn't mean that you want some supranational power telling every country what to do. There are other names for that, and it's tyranny. It means because the world is connected, you need sovereign countries cooperating with each other because they all have common interests, not giving up their sovereignty. So Trump has been advised very badly on that. And he's really got the innate ability to make peace even with Iran, even if Iran wants to be a theocracy. And the people don't want that. More and more they're objecting to it. And the women recently, who are supposed to be second-class citizens according to that religion, it is not a religion of peace. It's a religion of subjugation and war. You just have to read and study in order to know that. It's not the point of view of some scholar. It's in the original scriptures. But the people are waking up to it and say, wait a minute, how could God want that? You know, and the women were burning their burqas, their hijabs. I always get it wrong, hijab or hijab. I think it's hijab. And they were burning them, which means they were risking their lives. Because if you leave that religion, you're supposed to be killed. Just like the people who left the religion in the Old Testament of the Bible, they had to be killed by throwing rocks at them until they were dead. God supposedly really supported that, okay? That tells you the difference between religion and spirit. And it's very threatening for people because they're worried that if they give up their scriptures and their religion, they're just going to hell or everything will be chaotic and they'll have no contact with God, and it's just the opposite. God's right there. So anyway, that's another subject. Iran needs to be approached the same way as Trump has approached businesses making these great deals. And, I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute if we have time, and time's running out quickly here, but Iran needs to be approached in a positive manner. There's no advantage like these malicious advisors around Trump are saying to be really tough, you know, and I'm not saying send them crates of pallets of cash like Obama did in selling out the country. I'm saying make an alliance, you know, with certain conditions. And the conditions is, you know, have your own religion. If it says to kill people in your country, well, that's your issue, and I hope you get over it, but not outside, and don't spread terrorism, and be positive, work for your own prosperity, and we'll cooperate with you, and we don't have to have any war. That's what Trump needs to be doing, and real information is getting to him now, and it's super exciting because it's penetrated that circle around him that was set up to prevent it. Yeah, defensive war is still acceptable if there's no way out of it, but the weapons available to us are getting so horrible now that even defensive war risks the annihilation of humanity and the rest of the biosphere. So at this point, we're kind of at a crossroads. Dr. Greer has talked about it a lot. We have to go from a type zero civilization where, you know, everybody kills each other, regardless of what the reason and justification is. Justice is a bunch of garbage. There's something higher and stronger. Cooperation and universal love and bringing everybody up by your own example. The greatest martial arts masters, they don't have to beat up everybody. Do you ever notice that? Why is that? They just run away from all the fights, well, sometimes, but because they don't have an ego about it. They're not trying to look really tough. They don't care about that. But it's more than running away. Their influence is so strong and such a beautiful example that the people who wanted to attack them forget about what they're doing. And they say, wait a minute, why would I want to do that? That's a powerful martial artist. That's a powerful country. Capable of self-defense, but proactive in spreading cooperation, peace, and mutual respect by the depth of their character that is obvious, and it's not what they say. So the first effort in Iran should be negotiation, and Trump's got the talent for it, and they're trying to keep him from doing it. And I want to encourage him to do that because it will work. Sanctions are stupid. They're criminal. They hurt the citizens. I know people in Iran and from Iran. They don't deserve to be having their economy shut down or their food get scarce or their oil sales stopped. That's the 80 million people in Iran. They don't deserve that. So that's a really bad policy and the big mistake of Trump, I would say. All it's going to do, besides make a lot of people suffer, is increase the resentment against Iran. And then the advisors will say, see, they hate America and we have to bomb them. And this is a downward spiral, and Trump needs to stand against his corrupt advisors and overrule it. Now, that doesn't mean to shut down defensive capability for America or any other country, because self-defense for a person or a country is essential. You know, pacifism doesn't work. No illegal immigrants should be able to come into any country without being checked to make sure they are going to be supporters of that country and not of any religion that says you have to kill people that don't agree with you. That should never be allowed in a country. And I'm not saying throw people out if they're official members of that religion, but there has to be a way to check in some way that they're not going to follow it. That's what it comes down to. I mean, just call it what it is. If you're born into a religion that says you have to kill everybody else to take over the world to make God happy, should not be allowed in your country. If you do, it's going to be bad. And so that's still in force, I think, or should be. All the immigration should be legal. And nobody should be able to be legally coming into the country unless you check out that they are going to love and support that country. Otherwise, why should you do that? If you have a house that's your house for your family, you don't take all the doors off and just let everybody in saying it's compassionate. That's stupid. And it's going to get yourself mugged or killed. It's the same with the country. So Trump has been trying to do that. The media says, this is terrible. And they've got the citizens brainwashed to think, oh, that's so, you know, mean of the president. That's really dumb, you guys. And we should be able to see through it. You got to get smart enough so you don't care what the party says. You don't care what the media says. You just look and you see what's going on. The recent picture of the kid crying on the cover of a famous U.S. magazine that went all over the world, and Trump looking down really mean, saying, welcome to America. That was all fake. That girl was never separated from her mother. Unfortunately for the media, that got exposed. They just hope you never hear about it. You know, then once you make an alliance and a, not an alliance, I shouldn't use, a cooperative agreement with all these different countries, including Iran, then you can have fair and open trade, but not free trade, because the economies are different, and you don't want to get yourself into a position where something that you're absolutely dependent on for your national survival comes only from another country. Lincoln said some things about that. Lincoln had some huge faults from what I've read and studied. He was a big racist and, you know, was in favor of slavery and stuff. But he had some wisdom in other areas, and you should take wisdom from people in pieces where it is, even though they're not a perfect person. So they had to have steel for rails in America to build the railways, and they got a cheaper offer from either England or somewhere in Europe. I don't remember, probably England. And he said, no, let's buy it from our own country, because then we'll have the money and we'll have the rails. And that was really wise. So, you know, you don't want trade to make you dependent or get what I think was Washington or Jefferson, I should know, said you don't want entangling alliances overseas. That means a blanket alliance, and say, well, if you're ever attacked for anything, it's our war too. That's a really suicidal policy, because if your friend, not your ally, but your friend country gets attacked and it's an unfair attack, you can go help them. But if you have an alliance and your friend country does something criminal, you have to go defend them even though they're criminal. And that's a really poor idea. There's a difference between that friendship and alliance. And Trump needs to get that too in mind. Blanket alliances are really bad. So that's the bottom line anyway. Diplomacy, finding common ground, mutual benefit, strong and vigilant defense. And, you know, as usual, I went too long. But I will say it's the same with North Korea. Trump's achievement there is spectacular. I mean, he should have gotten a Nobel Prize if that prize hadn't been degraded by the way it's been used recently. But he should have gotten a real peace prize for that, because how many missiles do you think that North Korea has shot over Japan and toward Guam and everything, and since Trump went and met with Kim Jong-un? If you said zero, that's correct. This is a really big deal, you guys. And if you believe the media, if you're brainwashed by them, you think, well, Trump going to see North Korea, that's a traitor to America. They're so out of it, but they're very sophisticated and they know what words to use. There's no more missiles being fired. Remains of soldiers that fought in the Korean War are being returned. Talks are continuing. A nuclear test site was blown up. It's totally incredible. The bad advisors are continuing to try to obstruct the completion of that deal and the media twists it and say Trump is a real monster. But it's brilliant display of diplomacy, and that talent that he's got should be used to the full. And that should continue. The media should be recognizing he's not done, but what he's done so far is beyond heroic, just incredible. Everybody is too wrapped up in what party they belong to. That is so dumb, you guys. If he makes a mistake, it should be called out. If he does something fantastic, it should be appreciated. And what's most appreciated about Trump is his attitude and his motive. He gave up. What makes him maybe the greatest president America's ever had is that he got into it sacrificing a great lifestyle, losing tons of money, subjecting himself and his family to the most intense media attack worldwide that any president's ever had, risking death for himself and his family. He did that only to try to help the country. We can talk more about that later when we have time to go into it. Anyway, the same approach should apply with Russia. The criminal media in the U.S. Said that Trump was a Russian agent. This is really insultingly stupid. I mean, the opposing party to Trump was completely doing illegal stuff with Russia all over the place. But Trump wasn't. It was all fake. So Trump made a big mistake in not immediately taking up Putin on his offer of friendship. And he should have done it. So, but at least he finally got around to it. And he went there. And you notice that panicked the mainstream media more than any, just about anything that he's done so far. And you can trust the mainstream media. They wouldn't be panicking or launching deadly attacks unless it was something really good that was happening. I mean, when you start to realize the nature, real nature of the major American media, it's pretty overwhelming. And I mean, Trump has come out honestly and said the fake media, the criminal, corrupt media is the enemy of the people, which that's understated. You know, they're a threat to the world because they lead towards war and hatred. And the media twisted that, and he said media is the enemy of the people, thinking that you'd think Trump was against the free press. We don't have very much of a free press other than Alex Jones and a few other really good private ones right now, but we need to get that back. So Trump caved in to that pressure, and that was really unfortunate. He needs to fix that mistake. Well, he did fix that mistake. He went and met with Putin. And it was really a great meeting, and fortunately a lot of it was out of the sight of the media, which they absolutely hated, and it was wonderful. And so Trump's a really good judge of character, and he's now seen Putin. Just like Steven Seagal and a bunch of other people who have met him in person, he's doing a lot of good things, you know, getting Wi-Fi out of the schools in Russia. Banning GMOs for at least 10 years, that should have gotten Putin a peace prize right there. Supporting organic farming, organic, no chemical fertilizers in that kind of farming. And he wants to have Russia become the number one exporter of organic food in the world. I mean, that's why they're demonizing Putin and why the TV people are just going crazy right now and saying, and this strange behavior on the part of Trump, he actually went and talked to Putin in a civil, positive manner. We have to get rid of Trump immediately. And it's because of the good stuff that Putin was doing. And to get those two together is a formidable force that could be a threat to the negative power structure that's running the world. So that's the reason I think Trump is a great president, and it's because of his intent. Now he needs total support, but he also needs education. There are other threats to America and the world that are immediate, and if Trump doesn't fill in the information, he could lose a chance to save humanity and what's left of the biosphere. One of those, of course, is the 5G rollout that's happening every week now, including this week, and they're putting up these little antennas made to look innocuous by being called small cells, smart also, but small cells, and they're very, very damaging to you, your kids, your family, everybody around. It's a frequency that's designed to interfere with inter and intracellular communication. It's a crime against humanity. And although, you know, I'm in favor of loving and supporting everybody, the ones who are running these massive crimes need to be indicted and probably imprisoned to stop what they're doing. And the heads of the telecom industry are definitely in that category. They need to be indicted. They're going to cause more damage than any dictator in the world. And they're getting ready to do that right now. And most of the local cities, city governments are going along with it. And people aren't being vocal enough in the meetings of the city councils. And I know, you know, I've only been to two of the city council meetings where I live. It's really hard to find time to do that and to talk to city councilors that just look down on you and they just despise regular citizens and they're all into their own power and they don't care if they're hurting people or at all. They're just unbelievably out of it. But we have to do it. And Trump needs to be aware that the 5G network, which is proposed, and the Internet of Things, which he thought was good, you know, because Trump has brought in millions of new jobs and lots of new of companies that had left the U.S., and he's brought them back. Incredible. The lowest unemployment among African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans, white Americans, everybody in history. The media doesn't mention it. I guess they either forgot or ran out of time in the broadcast, right? They don't mention it. But he's done all that. But he doesn't know that some of these corporations that could provide a lot of jobs are also the ones that are destroying the earth and the biosphere. And so, you know, you might notice I'm not in any party or label or anything. I don't believe in labels. I think parties are a terrible idea. No, even the really supposedly good ones. Individuals and what they're actually going to do matter. The parties are just, you know, just a distraction. And they're all corrupt. But from where I'm coming from, I've been a devoted environmental advocate since the mid-1960s. But I'm not a liberal. I'm not a progressive at all. And I'm not a typical conservative either, because a lot of them tend to think that environmental things are stupid. And I don't want to be under any temptation to take on that point of view. And I'm telling Trump that environmentalism is not stupid. And I don't care what your advisors say. They're corrupt and malevolent for the most part, out for their own very stupid short-term interests. But environmental things can be translated as support of our life support system, maintenance of our life support system, healing of our life support system. And if we want to stay alive on this planet for a while, or even if we're not going to be here that much longer, some of us old people, the younger ones just being born and the ones to come after, that's the whole reason for why environmental things are critically necessary. But, you know, all these words get co-opted and corrupted, and environmental tends to mean liberal, progressive, and it means give up your rights to save the earth, and it means panic about global warming and turn off your air conditioner and stop driving your car and all that. I'm not into any of that stuff at all, because there are already free and clean energy sources that are being suppressed and kept away from us and have been for more than 100 years. If you want to hear more about that, listen to Dr. Stephen Greer. It's well, well documented. And the people that have demonstrated some of those that actually did work, well, they got killed, right? That's the real energy policy. And I think there's a lot of this that Trump still needs to understand, and he hasn't gotten the picture yet. But now that there's a breach in the wall of silence around him, that could change, and that's why they're so desperate to kill him right away. So he needs a lot of support, not because there's only one person, that is worth supporting, but because he's in a position of power, and if the opposing party takes over in the 2018 midterm elections, the first thing they'll do is try to get rid of him by any means necessary. It's the opposing party allied with the media, allied with the Communist Party, which is very strong in America right now, Antifa and all those guys. And the progressives and the communists are very close. And the labels don't even matter. It's, you know, wanting to enslave humanity with the promise of an illusion of utopia. And they always do that, and it always has the same results. So we have a chance not to have that happen right now. And to get the information to Trump, he needs to know about 5G. He needs to know about the disaster, which is chemical agriculture, not just GMOs. A lot of people now know about GMOs thanks to many heroic people working for that, Mercola, Jeffrey Smith, Zen Honeycutt, a lot of really great people. But it's not just GMOs, you guys. It's chemical agriculture, because when you destabilize the soil, then it brings in the diseases and insects, and it makes pesticides look necessary. Find out about that stuff. It's really important. And we've got the clean technologies available. They just need to start being released. So we need to work together to get that information to Trump. And the best way you can help the world, as we talk about in our other broadcasts, is to educate and open up your own consciousness. If you want to get ready to get into more detail of that, Planetary Healing Club meets in about half an hour. You're welcome there. LostArtsRadio.com/club. If you're not interested in that, just watch our free videos on YouTube, as long as we're there, and Facebook, Twitter for the moment, and Real.Video, which we just got on. That's going to be great. They don't do censoring. So check us out there, and you'll always be able to tell on LostArtsRadio.com where we are if we disappear on some other channels. So thanks for being with us. I really appreciate your letting me talk to you for a little while here. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend.
Hey, Richard.
Yeah.
We do have one question in the chat if you want to address it.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. The question is, what do you think about the embassy being moved to Jerusalem and the Dome of the Rock being destroyed in the Third Temple?
I'm not expert enough in the thing with the Dome of the Rock, although I'd be happy to have information on it if you want to send it to me at richard@lostartsradio.com. But what I understand about moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the official recognition of the capital, I should say, is really what it was about. I think that was great. And the reason is every country, whether it's Iran or Nigeria or Argentina or Russia or America, I know this is shocking to some people, but they get to decide where their capital is going to be. It's really not what they call rocket science, okay? So Israel wanted to have their capital in Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem's part of their country. That's the end of the story. So keeping, you know, many other presidents, including Obama, said they were going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and they just didn't do it. So it wasn't this big shocking change. It was just Trump did what they all promised. And they didn't do it, and he did it. So I think it's great. It's just an indication of his honesty and desire to follow through on the things that he understands. And that's so valuable. That's more important than being right about everything, because the person with the right attitude and the courage to stand against vicious condemnation when you're right is so valuable that then you can fill in and correct your mistakes. But if you don't have the attitude that you're there to help the world and the country, you can learn all the facts in the world and it doesn't lead to a good result. So it's a great question. I'm sorry I don't know enough about the Dome of the Rock, but if it's something you think is important, email it to me and I'll be happy to talk about it next time. Tomorrow night is, let's see, what do we have tomorrow? We have James Steele, who's a senatorial candidate from the state of Washington. You can hear us on blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, including all the archives back to the beginning over years. They're all free and available. So hope you can join us tomorrow night for that at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. And as I was saying, have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.